Hi, welcome to Together Equal, Diversity Made Simple, hosted by me, Sarah Ebmash.
Hey, Andrew Milne.
We're talking to guests about how they're working towards making the world more diverse, equal and inclusive. Today, I'm excited to introduce Theo Awemeh, the 2021 recipient of the General Teaching Council's Sarah Lal Award. The first of its kind, the award recognises a teacher in Scotland who shows a pioneering spirit for going above and beyond their efforts to fight for the cause of equality and diversity. Theo, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure, and I'm really grateful for this opportunity to share my knowledge and lived experiences with your audience. So thank you very much.
Well, I'm so pleased to welcome you. Before we get started, before we dig in, could you tell us a bit more about yourself and what you do, what drives you?
I am Theophilos Ogbehime. I'm a teacher of religious, moral and philosophical studies. I was born in post-colonial Nigeria around when NatWest was 10 years old. So you could sort of do that maths. That's what I say to my students. I teach religious and moral philosophical studies in the marginalized white space called Orkney, Kekwe Grammar School in Orkney. I came to the UK some 21 years ago, settled in London and was teaching in a pupil referral unit in Hackney. And after 5 years, I didn't know that as a teacher, you've got to have a qualified teacher status in Europe to be able to teach continuously in the UK. And that you're only allowed to teach for 5 years. And in that 5 years, you've got to get that QTS, qualified teacher status. But because I was teaching in a pupil referral unit, I couldn't get that status in school because the unit is a special school. So I had to go to a mainstream school. But no mainstream school would touch me with a long stick because I didn't have a qualified teacher status. So in the end, I had to go back to university. But the universities in England were all closed. So I checked and a university, Strathclyde in Scotland, Glasgow, was open. My first time I came to Scotland, and I got admission to do a PGDE in religious, moral, and philosophical studies, and came and taught. Oh, after a year, I'll finish and go back to England. I finished, went back to England, and they said, oh, you got to look for a job yourself, Theo. And I was thinking, when I was living in Scotland, they told me they would give me a job for a year as a probationer. And on top of that, if I tick the box, that means they'll take me anywhere, and they're going to give me an extra $5,000. The next bus to Glasgow, it was. I got back to Glasgow and I went. They said, oh, all right, take a bus. And I took the box and they said, Orkney Island. Where is that? That's a place that umbrellas go to die. And I'm thinking, all right. So friends, I would talk to friends. They say, for your birthday, ask for Long John's and Thermos. And I came to Orkney. It was, I was told, was an understatement. I'm in my flat and I run into the bathroom to turn off the extractor fan. But it wasn't really on. So it's the wind. If you go to West Africa, for example, or if you go to the tropics, there's that cacophony of cricket noises. And after a while, you get used to it because it's part of the background noise. But the first time you go, you can't sleep. You're thinking, how do people sleep here? So it was coming to Orkney and it's raining. And I take an umbrella to go to work and the umbrella becomes a walking stick because it's useless. But then after a while, I realized I was a square peg in a square hole. Because Acadians in themselves are really, really dope people. And whatever it is I've been able to do, whatever impact I've been able to have, is because of the space I occupy. So I pretty much don't take that for granted. And when I share my lived experiences, when I share my successes and disappointments, I always point out to the fact that there are factors that have sort of necessitated my position. Individuals would have families and things dragging them, but I'm pretty much lucky, and I've grown up in a space and system where success is measured by the level of service. So yes, this is this is me, and whatever it is I'm doing, we are seeds that we are sown back in the post-colonial Nigeria. When my dad talked about the importance of education, the fact that because of others, we are, and you need to always be there for others. And one of the easiest way to get out of poverty was through, and to reduce inequalities, was through education. And that for me has been the mainstay. And that's from where I approach looking at equality and diversity, because more often than not, ignorance propels us. And I have been a victim as well, where I have had to deconstruct the prejudices I hold. Sorry, Sarah, you can tell I like to talk and I am paid to talk.
Great talker. You're a brilliant guest. I love it. Of course, that's exactly what Together Equal does, that we're going into primary schools and doing, we're like virtual animals. We've been doing the same thing. It's awesome. Thank you for telling that. I've never heard about umbrellas going to die, but it sounds like rather than dying, they're just being repurposed.
Exactly, but it takes you... it takes time for you to understand. You must have killed 2-3 of your umbrellas before you realize that you have to repurpose. And they've got a different purpose. So what works is waterproof shoes and trousers and tops. But you just pretty much ingratiate yourself into the society, in the community, and you just get used to things. And I was saying it's a combination of so many positives. There are negatives as well, but over time one has been able to legitimize this campaign. So it's a general campaign, so it is geared from the viewpoint of, because said earlier on, because of others I am, and looking at life from that perspective, being in the clapping hands of any solution that's geared towards ameliorating social issues, problems emanating from social issues, even if they affect us directly or indirectly. Because of the close-knit community I exist, you get that link, that nexus between the school and the local community, and I capitalize a lot in that. Your primary schools, like you said earlier on, FIDA Primary Schools, and Sarah, thanks to you, my anti-racism group are starting to produce anti-racism glossary cards because of our belief that when you deconstruct the language, when you simplify the language, then educators can easily be able to access this language, because educators are so afraid to interact with controversial issues because they are not empowered. And that's from where we are looking at it. I know down the line you would ask about activities, but one of the activities we are looking at is teacher training within training education staff within Orkney, bringing an anti-racist educator to come and talk to teachers pretty much how to reflect anti-racism in the curriculum, but streamlining to the principles of breaking the mold, which is a principle guiding educators as to how anti-racism should look in the curriculum.
Sounds like the conversation cards that you're talking about, that Together Equal have utilised in the school programmes, come quite in handy for you. I'm assuming you've got activities based around them, haven't you, from the sounds of things?
And yes.
How did those activities go? What did you learn from them?
The activities, we've learned the fact that young people can take success from these activities into other curricular areas. It does provide a platform where you come together and help one another become advocates of equality and social justice. It sort of provides that platform to have musicians, to have people in authority, to have people within the local community exist together and then help each other out of this mire that society has sort of our irresponsibility and I say wickedness, but oftentimes it's unconscious. So I don't want to be seen as somebody it's okay to do it. No. But I really think it's like saying we are victims of a rat race. So we are all victims, because if you touch pitch, you'll be defied by it. So it's pretty much making sure that ethos within the school, within the local community, within the national and international community as well. So there is that nexus, that link. And I would always say it's like in a bowl of spaghetti. Everything is intertwined. It's different trends leading to one tango. So what we have started with my Consciousness After School Club, it came from in our London school. Did a probational and a learning. It's a placement in Glasgow. There's a school close to the Balliny prison. For me, it was leaving London was like jumping from fire into fridge, Glasgow. And then from Glasgow, it was like jumping from fridge into deep freezer in Orkney. So you come and you say, oh, that's a troubled kid. And you think that's the best kid compared to when I was teaching in London. So it's kids, because of the space we are, young people get bored. They do. So I had this consciousness after school club where we had to organize music, because I had a few kids who were pretty much troubled, but they could connect to music. For some reason, they could connect to me. And as a professor of mine told me when I was doing my placement, he says, the kids want to work with you. Never look for the reason why, because you would lose it if you focus on the reason why. Maybe it's something about being once a man and twice a child. Maybe that's the reason why. But I pretty much was able to connect to these youngsters, giving them a voice, a space, the audience and the influence. Laura Lundy's voice, listening to people's voices. And that's what has propelled the success in itself of the Consciousness After School Club, where we made noise against poverty. We made noise against discrimination, against racism, and against suicide, because that's one of the illness up here, and we are plagued by it. I have them as a teacher. Sadly, I have seen few of my students complete suicide, and that's really quite sad. But this is the kind of social issues that we have. We've organized music. We've brought musicians from as far as the States, as far as Ghana, Nigeria, Africa, as far as Europe, Germany. You come join us, make noise. And all of these are sort of metamorphosed. What we have done as well is we organized a Making Noise Against Racism music concert in Glasgow, because we're doing this internationally. And we've got anti-racism anthems recorded by musicians in Nigeria, Ghana, and in Germany. We're about to launch all of those. And what we have done as well is that we have written a book, Boy, the Black Orkney Vole, that looks at, because voles are normally brown up here, but it was pretty much different. And boy became the object of ridicule, but pretty much it's something that locally is set in it has got a local setting. And the local Acadian bookshop are going to publish it for us. But today, I took my anti-racism group into the local community, where we went to businesses to say, hey, would signpost use if you would. So we're starting to get donations already. You mean in today with £120 from local businesses wanting to be clapping hands in our crowd. So we've written, and we've got anti-racism hoodies as well, because we really thought about the fact that apparels could become the canvas for promoting our message. But included in that is the fact that we've got to be fair in terms of the kind of cotton we use. So Cool Schools, the Fair Trade School, was where we went to get fair trade hoodies, because the farmers that produce the cottons in Mauritius and the stream stress, they are all paid fairly in India. So we got the anti-racism hoodie, and on the back of the hoodies, there's the message, there is only one race, the human race. We've got materials like a local pen maker, he makes wooden pen, but with the anti-racism message, he's decided to do that for us as well. So it's a combination, a long list of activities that, like I said earlier on, these activities would not have been successful if not for the fact that, like I said, Acadians are really dope people. So they jump on the bandwagon when it comes to finding solutions to social problems or social issues. Because these problems, no matter how you look at them, they affect us directly or indirectly in the local community that we are. So yes, we've done lots of activities to promote equality, diversity. We've got activities support the LGBTQ plus, activity to make noise against Islamophobia. And that, because you look at it from the viewpoint of the poet, Imola talks about the fact that, hey, if they come for other groups and you are not there to stand for them, when they come for you, the others would not be there. So there is that importance of understanding the fact that we can work towards the society we want. And one of the ways we can do that is to become global citizens, to see global issues as their personal issues, and having the opportunity to guide your children and young people to identify injustice, discrimination, and inequality. And it suggests different ways through which we can be able to find lasting solutions And just now, the youngsters are taking control, and that's the sustainability of it, making it sustainable. So the S5 and S6s are recruiting first years and second years, because for them, you've got to keep this going. And like I said, it's a marginalized white space for the majority of members of the anti-racism group, not children or young people of racialized identity. So what we do as well, we've been going into primary schools for them to form anti-racism group from their equality groups, and then feed our junior highs as well. We've gone to share good practice, pretty much how to practically fight to change society. When I say fight, it's not to then say, oh, I'm not a racist. It's not being a racist or an anti-racist. There's no neutrality in it. Just making people know nobody's forcing it, but there's no neutrality in it. You don't say, oh, I'm sitting on the fence. You can't sit on the fence. Oftentimes, parents will come and complain, oh, you don't have to be political. That's why I say it's education. It's against the law. You have to sort of shed light on this. It's a crime. So parents will say, oh, they talked about this in class. Yes. I've talked about anti-racism. There's no way you can make it non-political, because in the last 10, 15 years, we have been putting into practice projects and activities, making links and connections within the local, national, and international community to make it really sustainable for the kids to start seeing beyond their noses. And then some years ago, I took 4 kids who had finished school because of depression, and I took them to West Africa, to Nigeria. We spent 3 weeks and we built toilets, and they've come to be successful individuals, really responsible and successful. And the contemplation of suicide and all of that are sort of, it's a thing of the past. And you're starting to organize another trip. But like, money is always a problem.
And you kind of... yeah, money definitely. But you kind of, if we could summarize what you said, the way to engage people is through activities, involvement, accountability, and ownership as well. You said a few key points there, so hopefully our listeners will be able to take away and put their own actions into plans.
I think also what you were saying about the racism group is amazing, especially with how you're explaining how by giving the kids a voice of their own to act, it's really empowering for them. And I think it's probably giving them, in a world that there's so much, such a lack of control for them, they have some control over something, and something that's really meaningful and purposeful.
I think what's important as well, Sarah, is that when they start to see that what they are doing is influencing policies, is bringing about change, that's the beauty of it. Because they are part of things, they are part of the policies, they are part of the change. I would give you an example with the breaking the mold, the principle for revising the Scottish curriculum, for example. That caption was suggested and put forward by Christantos, I think. He was a member of the MSYP, the member of the Scottish Youth Parliament. So young people were pretty much consulted there. There was an in-depth consultation in that regard. You know, we talked about controversial issues, so it's not reinventing the wheel. So off-the-shelf resources. But more often than not, it is the young people and listening to the young people. And like I said, giving them the space, which I do during my anti-racism and meetings every Tuesday at 1:15 to 1:55. They make suggestions and giving them the voice. But I give them the audience. For example, you're looking them into town today, and then we've spoken to our MSP as well. We're looking at inviting our P as well. And then is the influence a great deal, because there is the small grants for anti-racism and for projects initiated by young people and children. We've been lucky to have them secured the grant last year. We got 4 grand, but what we are doing, it didn't even get up to 10% of that. So this year, we've been able to, we're successful as well, but they've gotten back to us to say, oh, we can only give you a grand, but that will not be enough for us to publish the book for children, the anti-racism book, storybook for Benz, which is being illustrated by a member of a sixth form member of the group. And the cards as well. And there is a unity and the beauty in diversity. It's a blurb that was written. So it's going to be a video formed by members, but we're still sort of writing video frames for that. It's a thing of joy, and it's organic. in terms of how it progresses, the kids are in charge. Because in the past, you know, I have sort of taken everything and you, but just now, it's getting really sustainable in a way that is satisfying. It's got that, and you just know the fact that you are creating change, and you can see joy in the allyship. There's that joy in wanting to, and the kids, you know, come with suggestions. And yes, I am willing to share and everything in terms of to go about that.
Well, that's brilliant. Thank you. You're right. Funding is really challenging for this kind of thing. And we have the same issue, actually. And it's always a small amount that you can get from grants. But what I imagine you also could do with is some kind of corporate sponsorship. So if anyone's listening that's up in Scotland that wants to support you, I think we'll put your details on the podcast so they can reach out directly.
So, Theo, can you tell us, finally, what are you most proud of achieving in your diversity and inclusion journey?
I think you know, I've touched a pretty bit on that, you know, since we started the podcast. I think it is making global citizens of the young people I teach, making them responsible citizens. You know, I might be looking at the is and O's, looking at being responsible citizens, confident individuals. But more than that, it is the fact that I've been able to sow the seeds of social justice. I came here and I thought for 1 year, just the probationary year, and then that's me. And I was saying this to my deputy head friend. He said, Theo, that's what I said 20 years ago. And I'm thinking, come on, you know, and this is me 15 years down the line. I now understand it's like yesterday. You know, my dad would always say, in life, we all get handed seeds. You know, some people, they put the seeds away on the shelf. Some would fry or boil the seeds. Others would sow the seeds. When it comes to sowing seeds, you've then got to water the seeds. You know, and for me, it's, you know, you water, you harvest. And before you go with your harvest, you see other seeds sprouting, you know, and then it's just a cycle, you know. So that's me, you know, because for me, I really think, you know, it's my responsibility. And that's how I see it. I think it's because of my upbringing, because of the values I hold. And that's one of the success, you know, what I'm proud of in terms of what I've achieved. And also, is the fact that, you know, former pupils who, you know, master's degree holders, first degree holders, they come in to speak to the youngsters. So what it is, we get first, second, third years, you know, they go into the theater, they say, oh, the guys will come out, Miss RMPS, man, you got to join these clubs because they took the scales off our eyes. You know, because I say to them, before you are 30, make sure you go to Africa, you know, go to other parts of the world because education is the greatest, you know, is the greatest teacher. And then also, it's the fact that the seeds of allyship, you know, has been sown. So, you know, people in authority, even youngsters, you know, their actions, their behavior, and even the ethos and the practices, you know, within, you know, the school and to some extent within the local community does support. And not even only support, it magnifies and amplifies our voices, you know, in terms of the campaigns. You know, but the truth of the matter is the fact that, you know, these are being championed by individuals that don't belong, you know, to the same social identity groups, you know? And like I said, more than 99%. And also, we've been able to set up the Orkney Utwe Racism Group, which is the broad Orkney anti-racism group. And 99.9% are not people of racialized identity. So that in itself has legitimized this campaign. And we know the fact that the volume of this campaign sort of started to pick up again post, you know, the death of George Floyd, you know, starting with the Black Lives Matter. And then that sort of reignited discussions to do with systemic racism. Yeah, so the truth of the matter is the fact that it is starting to make young people to start thinking about, you know, social justice, you know, from the viewpoint of getting long-term solutions and you know, making the solutions sustainable. So the projects we do, for example, are ongoing, they are continuous. You know, Hydra-headed projects. You know, it's not just doing, and you know, you let it flow, you know, into finding solutions to other social issues as well. And then I think what I would have to say, what I'm most grateful for is the space I occupy. You know, I could have been in Edinburgh or in a city, Glasgow, and I would have been, I would have not been noticed. You know, I would have just maybe been maybe the impact I'm having would not, you know, be this far reaching. So, you know, it's like I said earlier on, it's coming to Orkney was like a round peg in a round hole.
I think you know, when you talk about allyship there, that's a cause both myself and Sarah are quite passionate about. I think a lot of people, they kind of get a bit, not overwhelmed, but they can't quite understand what allyship is. And it can be something as simple as just being party to conversations. You know, you don't have to be out there waving a flag or taking a part in any marches or declaring position. You kind of just have to be there to listen to what's going on to communities outside of your own. What can I do differently to, you know, include the communities, and how can I develop myself to be more understanding of what they're going through, the issues that they face?
And I think that brings about understanding as well, you know, understanding the fact that, you know, a particular group or individual would suffer from problems emanating from a list of social issues. So the individual might be Black, you know, and a woman, and a Muslim. And, you know, we've got to put all of these into consideration, the importance of intersectionality.
So, Theo, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. I think this is one of my favourite podcasts that we've recorded, actually.
Oh, thank you so much. You can physically see my hair getting big. Thank you for the compliment. But I must say, you know, you have made my 2024, it's not even halfway through the year, but I'm really grateful that you've given me the chance and opportunity to, you know, magnify what it is we are doing in, you know, at KGS, Kekwe Grammar School, and in the wider Orkney community.
Brilliant. Thank you. And thank you. To all our listeners out there, make sure you tune into our next episode, and we will put some details down in the link so that you can reach out to Theo or support his work more in Kirkwall. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.